Oh, we're never going to get rid of all the sounds.
Nope.
There's no point getting some room tone because the room tone is pure chaotic noise.
Just point at me anyway and I'll begin. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
You might be asking why we're doing this in a subway. And I don't mean the restaurant. It sounds like we're doing it in an actual subway station. We are not. We are at the heart of Vancouver nerddom today. We are at Vancouver Fan Expo. David and I have been sitting behind a table for the last 2 days, having people come up to us and ask us, what's a podcast? And then we have to explain to them, basically we have to really backsell it of like what a podcast is. Some people we have to explain what the internet is. And it's kind of gone from there. You might be asking right now, is Dave with you? Well, he is. And here's his voice now.
I am here. Yes, sorry. I was just trying to adjust the sound a bit just to try and take out some of the highs so the show could be completely low. I just want an all-low show today.
Sure thing.
Yeah, we're going to bring new lows to Sneaky Dragon this
week. That's right. Listen, if you're all in a good mood, don't worry. We're going to bring you down.
We're going to bring you way down.
Yeah, bring you way downtown.
Today we're at a place where, well, I tried to tweet it, but I can't tweet because I'm in a giant barn, but I just wanted to say that thank you, Push-Up Bra. Is what all cosplayers are saying today, I think.
Right.
I think that's kind of like the birth of cosplay was the invention of the push-up bra.
Well, something that you learn coming to something like this where there's a lot of cosplay is Wonder Woman has more tattoos than you'd expect.
Well, that and the fact that I've now decided that I'm going to design a character who will be incredibly successful because she's wearing very little clothing.
Oh, what will that character be called?
And that character will be called...
I would say? Okay. Scanty.
Scanty?
I call it like an Archie comics, but her name is just Scanty.
Okay, that's good. I was kind of thinking scantily clad, but that's a bit too obvious, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that'll be her last name.
Oh,
Scanty,
I see.
Lee, L-double-E, clad with two D's.
Oh, she's a Southern Belle.
She's a Southern Belle.
That's exactly like that. Right, yeah. No, that does work very well for me. Well, I just noticed something that was interesting because you were doing like
she always carries a flask of mint juleps.
Oh, I like that too.
She goes.
You were doing a semi-risque joke as children walked by.
Well,
and I realized that sets the tone. We've done shows under weird circumstances before. We recorded shows in Seattle with a bunch of women in a room trying to sleep.
Yeah.
And we had to like be off to the side.
That's right. We had to whisper to each other.
Yeah, sweet nothings.
Sweet nothings. We had to like gather together in the corner, facing the corner.
Yeah.
With our mics pointed towards the wall, whispering to each other in low undertones.
Now, what this looks like to us, the things we're seeing right now, folks, I can't even explain. What this looks like to the outside world is that Dave and I are talking, not even to each other.
No, we're
but
not.
We're looking outwards because we're talking at the microphones. So we look like right now we're both having monologues.
Yes.
And ignoring each other, and it looks very, very strange.
Well, but this is the secret, like...
Dave, what is the secret? Because I didn't want to read that book. Just tell me what the secret is.
Well, this is not the secret of that book.
Oh, okay.
Is
this the secret of NIM?
I'll tell you that. This is the secret of NIM.
Which was the National Institute of Mental Health. You don't have a lot of cartoons about the National Institute of Mental Health. That is probably one of the top three.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
The sequel, The Secret of Ustafa. But the...
Okay.
The secret was, like, when we were down in Emerald City, this occurred to me before, but it really struck home with me when we were at Emerald City, which is that when people are doing panels, when they're talking to each other, they'll go to, instead of talking to the audience, they'll talk off mic to each other, and then they'll be talking like this. And no one can hear what they're saying, and then they'll go back to the mic, and then they'll be talking to their friends, and they're over like this, and then they go back to the mic.
So we're doing something that's better for sound, but
bad for social...
But we sound crazy. Hey, Dave, I think I've made the classic mistake of having my microphone backwards. Please talk for a bit.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah.
No, you're not it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I just sound weird.
I set your mic up, so you sound perfectly. You sound perfectly fine. You sound perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We sound as good as we could possibly sound recording inside a gigantic aircraft hangar.
Now, when we were
surrounded by people in fox costumes.
Absolutely. There's a lot of. You can find out what the fox says.
You can.
All you have to go is into the bathroom where they all seem to be.
They seem to be there or at the ATM machine.
Yeah.
The fox says, ka-ching, ching, 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 ching.
Okay. That sounds especially good when it looks like you're talking to nobody. That's fantastic. Yesterday, when we got here, my favorite costume, and I saw it repeatedly, because it wasn't really as cosplay heavy as today, was Casual Friday Batman.
Casual Friday Batman. We did
which
see
is
a lot of that.
Batman in sweatpants.
Yeah. Or
he's got the mask. Yep. He's got the cape. He might have a t-shirt. He might have a sweatshirt. But definitely sweatpants and sneakers.
This cowl. And a couple of times we saw a Batman using a black plastic tablecloth from a dollar store as a cape, which kind of tells you that, you know, Wayne Enterprises are down.
What, are you telling me that Bruce Wayne is connected with Batman in some way?
I'm not saying
that. Dude, the Joker is like a couple of feet away from us. Watch it.
What I'm saying is that Bruce Wayne is a patron of the fighting arts.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, he's there. He supports Batman.
I kind of like Batman, though, in sweatpants. He just feels like, to me, he's more a working-class hero.
More a working-class hero?
You know? Well, he didn't like... Here's the thing. Here's the problem with Batman.
Yeah.
It's like a problem occurs, right?
Yeah.
And Batman then goes, I'm going to get into my full outfit. I'm going to check stuff on the Bat computer. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. And by that point, the guy's dead. Who needs some help?
I'm just looking at two mysterious ladies standing in front of us. I have no idea.
Oh, go ahead, talk, please.
I have no idea what they're... Who are you?
We're Upgrade and the Spelling of Steam Powered Giraffe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's a theatrical band. Pantomime.
All right. I can't even show us another.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Thanks. Thanks. They're great costumes.
Yeah, those are wicked. Nice. So who are they?
Okay, let them go past us so that I couldn't really hear them as well as I should have because I was wearing headphones.
I heard like Metal Betty and Rivet Sal.
They are a steampunk band, and they're something like Steampunk Giraffe.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
If they're not Steampunk Giraffe.
I could be wrong.
All right, Dave, vamp while I sign something.
Ian's going to be signing now, so I'm just going to talk for a little bit. And what I was going to say, I had something to say, and then I kind of got off topic. So let me just think back to it. Oh, Batman has, he has a bat armor. He has a bat costume that he wears underwater. He has his bat driving uniform with a cap, like a flat cap, and plus fours. And also he has his bat golf uniform, right, that is plus fours, a sort of Argyle sweater vest, and his cowl. And so I think that it's only natural that he has his bat relaxing at home watching television, you know, uniform, which is, you know, him in sweatpants with slippers, preferably fuzzy slippers, watching newscasts featuring him. That would probably be what Batman would watch, I think.
Hey, so Dave. Hey, Dave, I'm back.
Yeah. Yes, you're back in black.
Someone needed CPR.
Thank God you know CPR.
That's right. Thank God.
Yeah.
By the way, they're dead. It turns out I wasn't very good. Well, no, I do. I know C and P.
Yeah.
I did not get around to R.
So you get the resuscitation part you missed out on.
I'll tell you what happened. I went to the Canadian Pacific Railroad, and I thought what I was
you got
learning.
Got some brochures.
Well, I learned about railway history of Canada.
Sure.
But not
like
so
you,
much.
I like how you said that.
Yeah.
It's very, very
Dave,
elegant.
I just watched a man die in front of
sorry,
me, and he was dressed as a fox. That was
another
traumatic.
Another one.
I didn't know when his heart stopped. I couldn't feel it through
just
all the
time. Just one second.
Film.
I'm just going to write that in on my Fox telly. Okay, go on.
Okay. By the way, that's the end of Fox News for our thing. That's all the different Fox.
I
would actually love to see Fox News if it was all the foxes that were here in those fluffy outfits.
Sure.
Just delivering right-wing news.
Yep. That's the other thing I noticed, actually. Watching, there's not a lot of it here today. Like, I've seen more furries here than usual. Like, today there wasn't that many. Before I said it all wrong. I was as elegant as you. I don't know what's happening.
Wait a second. That was a backhanded... that was a front-handed insult,
that was
frankly.
A front-handed insult. But I did see a couple of furries, and what I noticed with them, and they weren't connected to each other, they both had similar mannerisms. It's like there's some sort of furry guidebook of how to, like, do cute to the mouth, paws to the mouth, like, inside your face, like, ooh, kind of face, and then also to, like, a wave in a certain way with your hands at your side.
Yeah.
And I guess there's, like, a handbook of furry furryisms.
Well, I'm sure... Okay, listen, I'm sure this all kind of comes from, say, your Disneyland mascot work, right?
Yeah.
And
as a
Disneyland mascot, Mickey has, like, probably 8 moves he is legally allowed to do.
Yeah.
Okay?
One of them is not breakdancing.
Except in the 80s. Briefly in the 80s.
Briefly in the 80s.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Mickey.
Yeah. Electric Goofaloo. That was that movie.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
That was an awesome one.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah.
There you are. I've got to sign something real quick, I think.
Go ahead.
Hello. Go ahead.
So I guess I'll just vamp again.
Yeah, Dave's vamping while I'm signing things.
I like that I'm left hanging on Ian's joke about Disneyland. So I really can't think of very much to say about it other than the fact that... oh, dear. I think I'll just edit this part out.
No, you won't.
We're just going to have a gap here, everybody.
No, sir.
We're going to
tell us
right
more
now.
About the 80s and Goofy.
80s and Electric Goofaloo.
Yeah. Remember Goof is Good? Remember that speech?
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. I can't even remember the 80s. You know, if you lived during the 80s, you don't remember
them.
There you
go. Thank you so much.
That's a fact.
All right.
Well, it's good that you're... because Ian actually sold out of all his comics today. He brought a lot of comic books, and they're all gone. And it's nice that people can bring ones for you to sign still, though.
Well, they're now making their own comics, and I have to sign them.
Doing fanzines of Simpsons that you're signing.
And I think that last guy just... I signed over Power of Attorney.
Oh.
Yeah, that is, by the way, if you ever get into the position where you're signing autographs, people will occasionally try to slip you different documents.
Yes.
Be very careful about that.
A famous trick of... Yes. We are both stunned by what we just saw. Sorry. Yesterday it was the buttocks. Today it was the breasts. I have to say that was the bravest costume I've seen for a long time.
Okay. They've now passed us by. What did we just see, Dave?
I don't know how to describe it. It was a lady.
You know the Beatles lyric, A Sea of Green?
A Sea of Green, yeah.
We saw that, except it was full frontal green.
It was full frontal green with some fur attached to the parts that aren't supposed to be seen. So rather than having pasties like you would find in your normal sort of burlesque situation,
right?
It was kind of bits of, I don't know, it looked kind of like a tulle? Like some sort of like a...
It looked like Jethro Tull.
It looked like Jethro Tull, that's right. Ian Anderson was glued to, he was playing locomotive breath, glued to the... Hi.
Recording.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
we're just recording a podcast. Sneaky Dragon podcast.
There you go.
You know how to read?
I forgot how to read.
Oh, you have forgotten how to read. That's fair enough.
He's been here so long.
You are now legally on our podcast.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, I have to legally tell you aren't. Are you? Oh, that's fair. Okay. That's good.
You make me feel special.
You are special.
Yeah.
You don't need us to make you feel special. Yeah. You're definitely special.
I don't know.
I can't really hear him. Sorry.
You can't even make up your mind whether you're
No, we can't. We just can't. Anyway. What it was basically...
These things are going to happen. This is the kind of wacky world that you have when
you
go live.
Let me tell you this. I'm dealing with this the same way I deal with crazy people on the bus.
Okay.
I do a lot of like, oh yeah, you got it. They sure did. Bike lanes, right? Yeah. The post office. And this is my stop.
That's right.
But it's not my stop.
That's
I'm just getting
right.
on
getting
the next bus.
Here. I'm getting up here. One time I was...
The bus isn't stopped. It is now.
First, I want to compliment you on your front and backhand a compliment by calling him special. But also, I was waiting for the bus one day, and I was just standing there and waiting for the bus, and I don't want to judge, but he was a crazy man.
Judge not, lest you be judged, Judy.
Exactly, lest you be judge Joe Kelly. And this guy went walking
basically the same joke as mine, but that's fine.
I just wanted a very slight variation, because people will laugh when we do the third one.
Oh, okay. Judge not, lest you be Judge Reinhold.
Yes, there you go. Baby. So then,
call me baby.
I was standing at this bus stop, and this crazy man went walking down the middle of the street. This is when Granville Street didn't allow traffic. It was still a mall, as it was called.
Or the Irish.
And so this guy was walking down the street. He was like cursing and yelling at women. Mm-hmm. Like this hated women.
Yeah.
Apparently, judging by what he was yelling.
Right.
There was a lot of Fs, a lot of fucks, a lot of shits, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Plus a lot of, but women. Bitches, basically.
And we get it. That's fine.
He disappeared down the street. I did not, you know, he was gone. Right? I just thought, well, that's an interesting person to see.
Yeah.
So I waited for my bus. My bus came. I got on it. I was dropping off some taxes. That's why I was taking the bus. I had to go to.
So you were dropping some F's and some B's, but like
myself,
about your
inside
some
my mind.
T's and some fours.
Inside my mind. And so I'm on the bus, and then when I got to my bus stop where the tax place was, I was getting up. I bumped into this person, and I went, "Oh, excuse me." And I said, "That's all right." And I turned and looked, and it was the guy who had been walking down the street yelling and cursing. It would seem so strange.
Yeah, well, you're not crazy all day long.
I guess not. I guess he
the
found...
The broken clock is sane twice a day.
I guess so.
And that's the way that goes.
I guess so.
Hello. I'm going to talk to someone
for
a second.
You got to talk again.
Hello.
What a time. I already told my great story about the guy with the bus thing. So now I've got nowhere to go. Nowhere to go.
Hey, Dave, what was your favorite costume you've seen so far today?
My favorite costume that I've seen so far today, well, okay. That wasn't a
woman. Aside from that green lady,
yeah, it
that
wasn't
just went
a scantily
by.
Clad lady. My favorite costume that I've seen today was.
How about that little alien from Sesame Street?
That was cute, but I only heard it. I didn't get to see it, so
oh, okay.
I only heard about it. That was a cute idea. It was one of the aliens, one of the yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip kind of aliens, which is cute, but the kid probably never seen them. I don't even know if they're on the Sesame Street anymore. They're kind of old-time Sesame Street. But anyway, oh, this is terrible having to vamp. I'm so awful at it. The best costume that I saw was...
Thanks, hope you enjoy it.
Well, the best costume that I saw was this guy, was a...
And you're out of time, Dave. Anyway, so...
Let me just say, it was a man and his son, and he was dressed as Thorin Oakenshield, the dad,
yeah.
And the son was dressed as Bilbo Baggins.
Aww.
That was nice, that was nice. Because the thing that, the one I saw that I didn't like, was a boy wearing a blue shirt and blue shorts
yeah.
that all boys wear at a particular age, at an elementary school age. They all want to wear
well,
shorts
all boys go through their blue period.
They go through their blue period.
That's why Picasso was famous, because he went through his much later in life.
Yeah.
Most go through it when they're three or four.
That's
he
right.
was, what, like in his 30s, 40s?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arrested artistic development.
Exactly.
And so, but then the dad was dressed as a Red Skull. So it just seemed wrong to me that the dad is all dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
And the kid is wearing his elementary school uniform.
What, he's supposed to be a little Nazi? Like a little tiny Hitler?
How about Captain America?
Well, why would they be hanging out?
Well, I don't know, because it's thematic?
I guess so.
I don't plan it. I just thought it would be better that way.
I'm trying to think who would go with, like, the Red Skull. Like, I can't see who, like,
Toby Jones. He could have been dressed as the eyeglass-wearing scientist.
Yes, Toby Jones. He could be Aram Zola.
That's his name?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is he from the comics?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the new Captain America movie?
I have seen the new Captain America movie.
Well, then you know what happens to him in the new Captain America movie, which we're not going to spoil.
No,
but that happens similar to what happens in the comics.
But what happens to Zola is he writes in the novel Emile. No, that's wrong. He didn't write Emile. That was Rousseau. Ah, forget it.
I was going to go. If anyone gets that reference and would like to correct it, please write in now. It's one of these questions where you're saying, like, you know R.M. Zola, and I want to, like, go run into the crowd and find you R.M. Zola.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I only see Magneto right now.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of Chun-Lis. Man, there's a lot of Chun-Lis.
What are they?
Chun-Li is from Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. You do see a lot of those.
Yes.
A lot of people wearing those, what is that thing called again? Base? No, stick?
Hats.
Aquid? No, ache base hat. What's it?
I don't know what you're saying at all.
Homestuck.
Homestuck.
Yeah.
What was this ache base? How was that close to Homestuck?
I was getting close to it. In a half an hour, I would have been there. If you'd let me carry on.
By the way, when Dave finally does go senile, you know that's what it's going to be like.
You won't be able to tell.
Yeah. Ache base? You mean Homestuck. Of course that's what I meant.
Totally.
Okay. I'd say you've seen the most for the ladies. You're getting... Okay, here's what you're getting a lot of. Chun Li... Harley Quinn's, though you're getting less of those than I've seen at normal cons.
Yeah.
And a lot of ladies from Frozen. The yeah. Let It Go lady.
Okay. Yeah.
That one.
Let It Go lady.
And I saw her, one of her yesterday with Jack Frost from Legend of the Guardians or?
Yep. Rise of the Guardians. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's a nice thematic thing. Now, if you had like a Bobby Drake hanging with them, maybe a Mr. Freeze, you know, they're all hanging out. That'd be good.
Lucky for us yesterday, Phyllis was here so she could tell us what it was.
Oh, called. That was lucky.
It was lucky.
Thank you, young person.
Yes, thank you for...
And then Nina Matsumoto showed up.
Yes.
Which was
yes,
great.
Yeah.
And she was able to explain Homestuck almost
yeah,
to us.
Yeah.
Basically, she explained it in the same way we explained what a podcast was to the older gentleman.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost exactly that kind of...
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You're not going to understand it, but I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to tell you right now.
It's a comic, but it's also a web. But listen, you're not going to... Oh, boy. And we're just glazed.
Well, even she said that it's so deep. It's so deeply within itself that it's actually hard to, like, find an entry point to
Homestuck. I think she said impossible.
Did she say impossible?
Yeah.
I didn't want to throw barriers up to people.
But listening. Then here was the nice thing. She then thought we were so hip.
Yeah.
That night she went and posted on Facebook and asked you to do a title card based on some anime that you have no idea
Clash
what it was.
Clash of the Titans.
I do not believe it was Clash of the Titans.
It's been like that.
I think that was a series of movies. That was one with Laurence Olivier and the We Are Titans?
That was the cult one of that.
Teen Titans. Teen Titans Go was what it was.
When the English senile, we won't be able to tell either. We've just learned.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh.
Yeah, but he in no way... seeing another Chun-Li, and it's, she's very adorable and
yes,
very small.
She's an adorable
and
small
she's being
Chun-Li.
Carried by her father, which is so cute. Here's what I really like seeing. I love seeing when there's a little kid, and they're dressed like, say, a Spider-Man or a Batman, and then they walk up, and they see, just randomly, an adult Spider-Man or Batman, and there is just an immediate bond.
Yeah.
It's just the cutest thing in the world. You just see, like, little Batman and, like, big Batman, and you go like, aww. Because you feel sorry for Batman because he lost his parents. So you're like, good for him. And you feel sorry for Spider-Man because he lost his uncle. And it's like, it's nice to have like an adult version of you there.
That's why I feel sorry for Spider-Man.
Why do you feel sorry for Spider-Man? Because the movie coming up is supposed to be not very good?
Well, that's a funny thing, isn't it? Like, the second one is supposed to be like the best film.
Yeah.
The second one is to kind of let it all hang out.
The second one of the original Spider-Man trilogy was clearly
definitely the best
film.
Yeah. Definitely the best film.
Godfather, people seem to say the second one. Empire Strikes Back, people seem to say.
I would say that was probably the better one of the...
Right. And, of course, that one, the Electric Boogaloo, that was
obviously
Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo. That's right.
That's right, yeah. Mickey 2.
But you're thinking, are you agreeing that it looks like this next Spider-Man
song? I don't know, but I'm always wary of a film that has more than one villain. Like, if you start piling the villains on, and I know it's based in the original Lee Ditko run, there was a legion of supervillains, kind of a situation where Electro...
There was the Sinister Six.
That's Sinister Six. There you go, yeah. It was Electro, the rhinoceros fellow.
that was his name. The rhinoceros fellow. The octopus gentleman.
Doc Ock.
Yes, that's right.
I've got four of them.
There was Professor Vulture.
There's Contour Man.
That's right. Absolutely. There was Johnny Electricity.
Yeah. Johnny Electricity. I said Electro.
Did you?
I was right on that one.
Okay.
And then I think I said Electrode, actually.
That's right. And Commander Mysterio, also.
And then the Mysterious Fellow.
Yes. And then Fred.
Fred. That's the seventh.
Yeah, he was the toughest guy because he didn't even need a gimmick.
The Sinister Six and the Surreptitious Seventh.
That's right.
Yeah, you didn't even see him in the comic. He was so sneaky.
Yeah, they seem to... Yeah, when they dogpile all the villains on, you feel like... What do you need with
that? Well, you don't have time to develop the interesting part of the character,
because
which is
your
not
villain has
the villains.
Yeah, your villain has to be tragic for it to really work. The nice thing about like your Dr. Octopus in your second Spider-Man movie was you felt like, oh no, this guy, he's got a wife and there's troubles, oh dear.
That's right.
And now it's like, what's the deal with these six people attacking him? I don't know. They all got, one's a jerk and one's got some problems at home and one had a bad camping trip. And some stuff happened he never talks about. The other guy's got real tax problems, deducted the wrong things.
Oh, no.
And it's like, it's too many backstories.
And
the other guy is an old man who dresses as a bird.
It's not just that, but to me, I mean, the backstory is important for the villain. But what's more interesting about the character is when they start exploring around them, you know, when they start looking at, you know, their lives and that kind of, you know, that's more interesting. Like, the kind of backstory about them and their day-to-day... You know, that's what makes the movie interesting to me. And then you kind of have these great moments of, you know, the great kind of showstoppers of the train sequence in Spider-Man 2 and such things.
But you want it to be about the redemption of the villain.
I guess.
You know, ideally, like the most satisfying ending.
It's pretty hard to have six guys redeemed at the
end
of the film. Yeah.
Well, they all find Jesus.
They all find Jesus. Yeah. They're all at home plotting their next mission when some guys knock at the door.
Yeah.
Have you heard the good news?
I don't know. Come in for a second. Yeah.
No, we haven't. Come in.
But wait, does God love a rhino as well? Yeah, I'm going to sign something so Dave can vamp for a second here.
Great.
Absolutely.
I should be signing them for Ian because I'm not a good vamper. But I think we can all agree that Superman 3 was terrible because it had, three villains in it, if I can remember correctly, having seen it
Superman
once.
Superman 2 had three villains.
Superman 2 had three villains.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're
all part of the same club.
They're all the same people, yeah. It was like one group working away. So it didn't feel like, it didn't feel like it was like three different elements all kind of doing separate things in the film and then sort of coming together, or not coming together at all in the case of Superman 3.
There you go.
So, like, why they would do that with a second film, it just feels like...
Thanks so much.
It feels like they panicked. To me, it just feels like they lost their nerve, thought they'd jump onto the, and just like jump onto the third movie like right away.
By the way, if you want to see everything that's wrong with filmmaking done all at the same time, I don't know if I've mentioned this before.
Okay.
Watch the first 10 minutes of Superman 3.
Okay.
It could not be more wrong.
Yeah.
Like, here's the folks, and again, if I've talked about this before, I sincerely apologize. When you're say, you got a Superman movie, Dave, now, how do you think your first 5 minutes of a Superman movie should be? What should happen?
It should start with a fantastic set piece of him rescuing people from
Did
some sort of
danger.
Did you
say the unemployment office? Absolutely. Here's what you get. You get Richard Pryor in a long lineup getting sassed by the lady behind the wicket, who says, who's asking him, did you try for work this? Well, I did, but I didn't get any work. Oh, well, then we're going to...
Is it the same lady who's in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles at the airport?
I think it's all the same woman.
Okay.
So it's basically him, and it's not even any jokes. Like, you think, like, well, Richard Pryor's here, it's going to be a lot of jokey stuff. No, it's just a sad thing where he's being turned down for unemployment insurance. Oh, and now a supervillain's going to break in and interrupt this. No. Oh, well, Richard Pryor has some powers, clearly, and we're going to... Nope. He just gets rejected and kind of goes to the back of the line and then, like, decides, maybe I'm going to go into computer repair. And that's your first scene. Like, just
wow.
Rough times.
Yeah.
Like, everything but, like, realizing he has a pee stain on his pants. Like, it's just a depressing, realistic, awful. But wait, now we're getting into Superman.
Yeah.
Here comes Superman. No.
Superman's coming.
It's just, nope.
He's going to rescue some people.
Nope, there's a bus.
There's a fire in a skyscraper, and he's going to rescue a bunch of people from the top floor.
Absolutely not. Oh. Here's what you get. You get a busty lady, right?
Mm.
And she's walking down the street.
Of course she is.
And because she's busty, everyone starts falling over each other, Keystone Cop style, because she's busty.
Yeah.
And that's Metropolis.
Sure.
And then
we don't have any busty ladies there.
Right, and Clark Kent comes walking
because
out.
Superman busted them all.
Absolutely. Clark Kent's so oblivious, there's a guy in a manhole.
Yeah.
He steps on his head. Clark doesn't know. That dumb guy. And eventually, after forever of some shtick, a guy's trapped in a car and drowning, and Clark sees this and takes about, I don't know, 11 minutes to just get his act together and almost rescue the guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was the worst. The worst.
Doesn't sound like it. I just wanted to point out that I just saw my first time seeing Justice Bane walking by.
Oh, which...
Which is a hard costume to pull off because for the rest of the day, your friends can't understand you.
That is true.
Yeah.
One second. What's that? You want a card? Sure. Can we have a card for the podcast? Absolutely. There you are. You're very welcome. Thank you. We're just promoting the podcast while we're on the podcast.
While we're doing the podcast, we also promote.
Do you know, the funny thing about... And I say funny loosely... We normally do our podcast in a sensory deprivation chamber.
That's right. Floating in water.
Yeah. Most of you don't know that. Dave and I wear bathing suits.
Yes.
We get a big saltwater tank. Very dangerous with the electronic equipment. But Dave says, it's the only way I'll do it. I think he just needs to pee sometimes, and then I won't be able to tell. We both lie in separate sensory deprivation tanks.
Unless we have a guest. Then we have to lie together in one tank.
That's right. And then the other one's floating.
Yeah.
And we shut it down, and then we just free associate our nonsense. So right now... we're like a person who is just experiencing sight for the first time. And we are getting so sensory overloaded right now.
That's right.
That, like, seriously, the stuff that's walking by us, it's remarkable. It's like, Dave, when I first got laser surgery for my eyes, this literally was a problem. I was getting headaches because I was getting more information optically than I'd ever had for, like, you know, a decade. Yeah, and I'm going to probably be getting that headache now.
I feel like Dave in 2001 going through that light, that huge light thing where it's flying by.
So you feel like yourself 13 years ago.
I feel like myself 13 years
you
ago.
You feel like Dave in 2001.
That's right, yeah.
So your hair's longer at
A little. No, it's probably about the same, actually. Probably about the same.
Yeah. You're very depressed about 9/11.
Feeling bad about that, yeah.
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 But what else is happening to you?
In 2001, it wasn't a good time, actually. When I think about it, I'm kind of glad I'm not going back 13 years.
It was a bad time for everybody, I think, generally, 2001.
But I'm even speaking before that time. I was kind of treading water. I wasn't happy.
Well, much like we're doing in our sensory deprivation tank, usually.
Much like we're doing in our sensory deprivation. No, you float in those, don't you? Because they're salt water.
By the way, I'm spotting now two poison ivies that are coming in contact with each other. And I'm seeing if they're going to acknowledge that we're both poison ivy.
Hi, James. Yep.
And there's a Harley Quinn as well.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, there's less Harley Quinns now than before. I think that's because Harley's been rebooted in the comics.
Okay.
And so there's a little less Harley love right now.
Well, I think maybe that. And it's also having to carry on that enormous hammer is a lot of work.
That's true.
It feels fun. I thought that same thing when I saw a young lady walking around and she was wearing high heels. I thought to myself, that looks like a good idea at home. But after you've been 3 hours at the con, I bet you those high heels don't feel like such a great idea.
Okay. I like the idea that you think ladies wear high heels at home.
No, when you're thinking about it at home.
Oh, thinking about it at home. I thought, let's wear my high heels around the house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, you have to welcome your husband home.
Of course you do. Holding a martini.
You haven't heard the song Wives and Lovers? The most sexist song ever written?
No. Explain this song to me.
Well, it's kind of funny. It's Jack Jones. I think it's actually a Burt Bacharach, Hal David song, but it's sung by Jack Jones. And it's basically telling... you know, that wives should welcome their husbands home wearing a negligee and carrying champagne and you know, because otherwise the husband's going to get it on with the secretary at work.
Okay.
That's basically the story of that song.
Now, here's my question with that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't... Those are great costumes. Why wouldn't he just do that with a secretary and then come home anyway and then have two flavors of ice cream?
Because his wife is so awesome at home that he doesn't need to do that.
Oh, he doesn't need to.
Yeah.
But if you're the kind of jerk who would, then you
How much cream do you need? That's what the song's asking, I suppose. Well, I don't know.
How much do you need?
Why are you coming out? I didn't write the song or record it or sing it. It really occurred to me because you brought
I'm just saying, if you're the kind of jerk that's going to cheat on your wife, you're going to cheat on your wife even if your wife is fantastic.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you're just looking for that little excuse, then there you go.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that just because my wife is right behind me.
I'm not
making that kind of strong statement. All of a sudden, you're all pro-cheating on your wife, and I'm Johnny Faithful.
I like that you're bringing that up when you know my wife listens to the show all the time.
Oh, so wait, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I got a couple of, I have a couple cold weeks coming up. Is what I'm saying.
It is actually... Oh, that's cool. I'm seeing a couple of Jessica Rabbits here, too.
Well, yeah, there's the professional
there's
Jessica Rabbit.
There's the professional Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit.
She's here.
And then there's like an amateur Jessica Rabbit. I wonder if the professional Jessica Rabbit has a problem with that, with the amateur Jessica Rabbit walking around.
Well, I read an interview with her in the paper the other day. That's how I knew that she forms herself with duct tape, by wrapping duct tape around herself and creating a life-threatening corset.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of strange.
Do you know what's also good? It's just a corset.
Well, I guess, I don't know why she doesn't wear that. I guess because you can shape better with the duck. You can have more control over what you shape, how you shape
Dave,
it.
Dave, you know that I kill whales for fun.
We know that.
And a lot of the money I make is from whalebone corsets.
Yes.
So I can't be pro this duct tape nonsense.
Yes. Oh, don't forget your baleen lanterns that you're selling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, my Blubber for Tots program.
Blubber for Tots. Quit blubbering.
Yeah.
It's the logo.
Quit blubbering and finish your blubber, is what I say. Or keep blubbering and I'll give you blubber. I don't know whether the kid likes blubber or not.
We're not clear on the logo for the motto for your charity you've developed. Sorry.
That kind of reminds me of a weird... we talked about this a little bit on the Dan Parent episode, which was a show that was called US of Archie.
Okay.
And there was one episode where Archie and Jughead and all of them are working on a whaling boat. Archie and Jughead is very hungry to eat whale blubber. And I think his joke was like, if I don't have some of that, I'm going to blubber.
Yeah.
And the idea of like him eating this whale blubber was just one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, I also brought that up in the Dan Parent episodes, which was that little Lotta comic where she slides down the whale cutting... with two knives cutting a big slab of blubber.
Now, is the whale alive at this time?
Well, the whale, I don't think the whale is necessarily alive, but it's drawn with its eyes open, which is very disturbing.
Oh, jeez.
And there's something so repugnant about someone eating it. She eats the entire whale. She eats the entire whale.
Does she eat the bones?
It's a dream sequence, I want to say.
She must have
leave
the bones.
The bones are left so that you know that the whale was once there.
Yeah.
That's part of the hilarious gag, as I'll put it.
Was the title of it a whale of a story or some business like that?
Rather than the gag reflex, which is what I had reading the story.
And then did Ahab show up and just go, what?
That's right. The white whale.
And then she eats his other leg. And then he goes, I'm going to hunt you.
That's right.
And then Ahab's hunting little Lotta for the rest of his life. What does this represent?
It's called Lotta Dick. That's the name of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Hello. Yeah, we do a podcast that we're doing actually right now, and these are basically... Oh, that's fine. No, we're going to keep going. We really appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
The Ghost Rider.
There. Dave right now is working at a T-shirt shop while we're doing this.
Yeah, the Dog Ear Boutique. I'm here. I also have a letter press. I can put down anything you want me to put down. When I was a kid, my parents bought me a shirt for my birthday. They bought me a shirt. It said. Oh man, I wish I could remember what it said now, because it was some sort of a saying about
not our son.
Yes, right. No, it was something about
adopted.
It was something about procrastination, and it was like some sort of like kind of snarky comment about the fact that I put things off, which is true. I'm a procrastinator. I'm not going to deny it. I never wore that shirt. I don't know if that's a surprise to anyone out there. I just did not wear that shirt. But I had neighbors next door because I used to also...
Wait, was the joke like procrastinators do it and then it's unfinished? Is the shirt unfinished?
Yeah, no, it
would have
been nice. No, it wasn't that.
It wasn't...
It was kind of like a snarky comment about, you know, like... procrastination is the something or other of such stuff and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I'll look it up. I'll tell you what, I'll link to it.
Okay.
I'll take a picture. I still have it at home. I'll take a picture
right.
of it.
What Dave said just now is hyperlinked audioly. So if you could tap on your phone right now,
yeah.
It will hyperlink to...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in the future we will have that.
So, yeah, and my next door neighbors, because when I would go over to get my friend, you know how you go over to your neighbors to get your friend.
You gather your friends.
Like
a bundle of sticks.
Can Chris come out and play?
Yes.
And then Chris is allowed to come out and play because he's either done or has pretended he's done his homework, and then he comes outside and you play. But when I was waiting, I would often dance to T for Two. I would pretend to tap dance. I would do a soft shoe shuffle on their doorstep. You know, as sort of a jokey thing, just because I was waiting.
Because that's what kids used to do.
That's what I used to do. And so they bought me a shirt with the letters on it that said T for Two. They bought me a shirt. And of course
I did it enough that it was worthy of a shirt.
Sir, I did it all the time.
Okay, now let me just ask you this question.
Yes.
You're a parent.
I am a parent.
Right. Now, if your child, like, was to, a friend was to drop by, and they were shuffling to T for Two.
Yeah.
What would you think of that?
If it was a friend of theirs?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was great.
And answer for a while because I got to sign some books.
I think it was great because I loved... One of the things I love about...
Thank you, James.
My older daughter is a bit of a goof and with her friends. And so I love the fact that one of her friends, her nickname is Large Piles of Magnesium. Large Amounts of Magnesium. I just love that that's a nickname. It just seems crazy, right? But why not? And she has another friend whose nickname is Toasty Toasty. Like, I just love the fact that you would nickname someone such elaborate names.
That sounds like something from Guys and Dolls.
Yeah?
It's like, who's the girl that the guy's dating? It's Toasty Toasty.
Toasty Toasty, yeah. So that's her friend's nickname, and that's how it is on the phone. Her other friend's on the phone is Magnesium. And I just love that. Then her friend didn't mind being called Magnesium.
Is her friend's real name Maggie?
No, close.
Okay,
Megan.
All right.
But
I like that you can't say the name of your daughters, but you will out all their friends'
names.
Well,
what's funny is that because no one knows anyway. So, but what's funny is because they all gave themselves M names, and my oldest daughter, her name she gave herself was Millie. This is before she was ever Millis. And the other friends all had M names. And the other ones were like, I can't think of an M name. So they called her Magnesium. And then became Large Amounts of Magnesium. And I just love that, I just like that kind of goofiness. So to me, if she had a friend who came over and was dancing soft shoe to T for Two or any kind of goofy behavior, not only would I like that, but they would be my favorite person. And I'm not joking.
I'm just picturing somebody... Yeah, now doing a full vaudeville routine while waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I would sing it. I would sing T for Two while doing a soft shoe. And
nice.
I would do it every day when I went over there. And his mom would ask me to do it for her. So
this just feels like a different time.
I don't know why.
Again, here's the thing.
Why?
If you lived now when you were that kid, you just wait here. Sounds good. I'm going to get on my phone. But because you didn't have your phone to text, well, I'd better do a song and dance number.
I'm having fun. Well, I think if you... Oh, look at this.
We will raise a family.
Great costume. Beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic. A female Hellboy just went by.
Yeah.
I could say a Hell Girl, but I think a female Hellboy would
female
be...
Female Hellboy.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of what I call cross-playing here, which is a role reversal of the cosplay characters, and it's always very, very cool.
Yeah, I like that.
There's something like, hey, yeah, good on ya.
A female doctor and that. But that's very popular, like on Tumblr, is you see a lot of art that's kind of cross, what do you call it, cross-gender or whatever, where they just take...
transgender also. Maybe.
I
think we're done. That's a different thing.
But, like Sherlock Holmes and Watson as Sherlock Holmes and Watson female versions and things like that, So, and I quite like that, and it's really fun to have it in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Female Joker or female Batman or whatever. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. For all that we're kind of joking about the people dressed up, they just make the con cooler.
Oh yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love the dress up part of it. I think it's fantastic.
I think when comics go bad, it's when they start taking themselves way too seriously.
Yeah.
And when comics go good, it's the same energy that we get here, where people are just like, let's just have fun and dress up and goof around and take pictures of each other. And it's, it just really raises your spirits.
Sure.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, otherwise it would just be weirdos like us talking to microphones, looking again like we were talking to ourselves.
Yeah, I'm looking over into a corner of the hall, actually, but yeah.
Are you?
Yep.
Just locking eyes
over there? I'm just looking up at a pillar.
Okay.
I got a pillar in view. I'm looking at the girders. I'm thinking, good engineering in this place.
Do you know who's below those girders,
I believe it's not
going to
fall on me.
I'll tell you who's below those girders.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell is going to be below those girders.
Bruce Campbell. A particular favorite of mine. I do love Bruce Campbell.
Me too, very, very much.
I like him so much, I watched Maniac Cop. That's how much I like.
I've seen a lot of movies that maybe I wouldn't have seen, except that he was in them. Yeah. I saw Congo probably because of that.
I saw Congo because he's in it, yeah.
I saw a sequel to From Dusk Till Dawn. And in all these cases, he's dead in the first 5 minutes, and then I'm left holding the movie-watching bag.
Well, I watch them in a portable format that I can turn off. It's not that portable, actually, because it's a TV.
Yeah.
Not as portable as I'm making out.
Well, it is. You're a strong man. You can lift a TV.
But it's plugged in, so you can only carry it for a few feet before you've reached the end of your rope.
Sure, I guess so.
Just to coin a phrase. It's okay. What's the best Bruce Campbell film?
That isn't
Army of Darkness. I mean, isn't Evil Dead 2? Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'd say Hudsucker Proxy.
Well, that's a good one. I was going to say Baba Hotep.
Okay.
I think that's a
well.
Really
he's
good
very
film.
Bruce Campbell in that, and he's kind of Bruce Campbell in all the movies.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a kind of a character that they want him to play now when he comes to do a film, and it's not even Ash really. It's more Bruce Campbell's character.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Creepiest Bruce Campbell moment that's not in the Evil Dead series, and I'll accept television, Dave, because my version is television in this one.
I can't think of anything. I'm sorry. I can't think of a.
I'm going to go with American Gothic. And it's one where he's devoured by flesh-eating beetles. And at one point, like, he's trapped in a box with these beetles, and then they open up the box and have a conversation with him, and then just shut the box back down on him. Oh, it's creepy stuff.
American Gothic, I don't know what
it is.
It
was a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
With Gary Cole as a sheriff.
Oh, that's
who was
right. That was a good show, but I haven't seen that. And there was a young boy who was trying to... corrupt.
Is my dad the devil? I don't know.
Yeah,
and then his sister is a ghost. And she's all, someone's at the door.
That was an interesting show. It was ahead of its time. If it was an HBO show or an FX show...
Absolutely.
It would really
Except
be popular.
If it was an HBO show, it would be a lot more nudity and gore.
Well,
now.
That would make it better.
Oh, I don't know, Dave.
You know,
I don't know.
Well, you know, for your boob action, you really have to turn to television nowadays, don't you? I mean...
Or listen to this podcast, because it's got a lot of boob action on it.
It's got a lot of boobs on it. But, no, I was just thinking that, you know, when we were teenagers...
Sorry, I'm laughing at a Tron. It's very funny over there.
When you were teenagers, you turned to the movies, you turned to video.
Or we went to the woods, as we talked earlier. We talked with someone earlier today about, where you found your pornography, and of course it was the woods.
There was but also, you know, you went to your teen comedy.
Yes.
Which had your
spring breaks.
Your must-have moment of boobage.
Your private lessons.
Well, even Stripes, which is, you know, in every other way,
I did
comedy.
Watch a couple of scenes from Stripes a lot.
Yeah. In every other way, it's a respectable comedy, but there's this one moment of complete...
Shower.
Yeah, just, you don't need it there, but what the hell? You know, it's an 80s movie, needs some boobage.
Well, you also then get the mud wrestling kind of thing with John Candy, and you get a little bit of... Hey, funny fun in there. But yeah, the shower scene is just like, get out of here.
Yeah, it's just completely...
Come on, John Larroquette. Let's smarten up. Come on now. Settle down, everybody.
Sober up, John.
We need that about as much as the last act of this movie. By the way,
Amen,
those of you
brother.
That haven't seen Stripes, once they... I'm just going to say...
Yeah. Once they graduate.
If they... Well, you see, that's the ending, and that should be. I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah.
But if you see them, like, say, trying to invade someplace or going someplace, turn it off. You don't need to see the rest of that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's no need for that. Stripes is two-thirds of a really good movie.
Two-thirds of a fantastic film, and then, it kind of falls apart. Very much so. But I think that while that was kind of a symptom of the times, I think you could point to more films than that. How about Trading Places? That falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the last third of that film is a complete...
And it's also got a scene that you might watch over and over
That's
again.
That's true. That another movie that has a little bit of boobage, and apparently someone who augmented her boobs for boobage.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis had a breast augmentation.
And so later on, she had to have that yogurt so she could poop.
Why?
I don't know, but that's what you know her from now.
Oh, okay. I thought that was related to breast augmentation, was later on in life.
Nope, she just does a lot of ads for poop yogurt
now. Oh, poop yogurt. Thank you. So, yeah, but nowadays, to turn for your boobage quota,
you go to your Game of Thrones.
You go to your HBO.
You go to your Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you'll go
Banshee?
To your True Detective.
Banshee, every episode. Truly, every episode. I'm not joking.
I started to watch Banshee because you said, it's really good. And I went, okay, here's episode one. I'm starting to watch it. And I'm like, this is good, but this is really confusing. And then I realized I was watching episode one of season two. So I got to start.
Yeah, watch episode one of season one.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way
to
go. You know what? A lot of TV shows, though, I would say, like, say you want to watch Community.
Yeah.
Start with episode one of season two. Many shows, I would say, start with the second season when they've got their act a little bit better together.
But don't you feel it would still be kind of confusing? Like, you should watch episode one, season one, and then skip to episode one, season two.
Well, here's the thing. Most episode one...
you're not going to understand why is Joel at Community College.
But do you care? You just go, like, I get that he's this kind of jerk. I get that he's this kind of character. I guess this guy's this.
Yeah.
My problem normally with initial episodes of shows is everyone, they're just terrible.
Yeah.
They're just, everyone has to explain who they are. They're coming from another place, and why do they have to be in this office, and they don't want to be in the office.
Yeah.
But now I'm not going to be in this office. But wait, what I didn't want is now what I have. And now by the end of the show, you'll go, you know what? This is what I really needed. It wasn't what I wanted, man, but it was what I needed. Yeah, I get it. I've seen the sitcom before. I realize Mary Tyler Moore doesn't want this job. I get it. But she's going to get this job, and then we'll learn, and it'll be fine. I understand.
Yeah.
Diana does not want to work at Cheers. I get it. It's fine. I get Joel doesn't want to do this. He wants to be a lawyer. I get it. I'm familiar with the tropes of a sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
Main character, not happy where he is. Fine. Move on. So we're all right.
You know, I was at the gym the other day, and Cheers was on the television. It was an early one. It still had Coach on it with and Shelley Long.
Right.
And
they had to let him go when he stopped remembering when everyone, everyone's name.
They had to let him go when he stopped breathing. Actually, what's the problem? But what was interesting about it was still funny. I didn't know what it was. It's been a long time since I saw it, you know, since the early 80s or mid 80s or whatever. It was still funny, like just watching it without sound or knowing what they're saying. There was no, I can't read subtitles from a distance because my eyesight's so terrible.
And you never learned to read.
And I never learned to read subtitles. And so it was still, I was still laughing at it though. It's
weird that you're mentioning that because the other day I had the sound off and I was watching a Disney sitcom.
Okay.
Like it was a Disney high school sitcom.
Oh yeah.
And I was watching the wide eyes and the big expressions and whatever. And you could tell exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is too loud. And there was no volume.
Yeah.
But it was just like, turn the acting down.
Yeah.
Calm down. Stop it.
Yeah.
And like every one of their sitcoms looks exactly like that.
Oh, well, now you know why the girls weren't allowed to watch Hannah Montana. I mean, those shows are just full volume all the time.
I could almost give you Wizards of Waverly Place. Almost give you that one, but the rest of them, because the wizards aren't trying to get laid all the time when they're 12.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just like, oh, like that girl, here's a weird double entendre joke.
Yeah.
Ugh, gross. You know, but the wizards just wanted to do their wizard stuff.
It's okay. It's okay.
We're not endorsing the wizards, but if you've got to watch one, Wizards. And I don't mean watch the movie Wizards.
Yeah.
I'm not endorsing that movie. No.
That Ralph Bakshi film?
No. There's not a lot of people cosplaying. Let me tell you something, Dave.
Yeah.
Here's something that I think proves a point.
Yes.
When they had the prequels to Star Wars come out, and...
What are those?
Let's pretend they have.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And let's pretend that there were, say, some characters on there that people found offensive or annoying.
Yeah.
And at that time, you had your George Lucases and other people go, you know what? Basically, old man, this isn't for you. The kids love.
Yeah.
Let's say there was a character called Bar-Bar.
Bar-Bar?
And I don't mean the elephant.
Not the elephant.
No, it's spelled differently.
Okay.
Okay, now say there was Bar-Bar Hinks. Now... You would go like, oh, this
was
not...
Are we talking about Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Okay.
But people at the time said, you don't get it. Kids love this character.
Yeah.
They love it. Okay, cut to now 10 years later. And you can see how much they love the character by how many people cosplay as that character.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, we're flooded. Like, the amount of people that cosplay as prequels of Star Wars, it's crazy.
It's crazy how many people you see. I don't know anything.
You can't turn around without seeing a Bar-Bar Hinks.
Oh, yeah. I saw someone just dressed as the floating Snoke guy a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally dressed as that character.
And that guy, everyone.
Everyone.
If these things exist.
Everyone loves that character. His name is so terrible. Turbo McSpeedy.
Sure.
That's his name, I think.
Yeah.
Because he has like a 50s diner. That's a crazy part of that movie, right? It's a 50s diner, and it's in space. Like, what? Why is Mel's diner? Why do they have, like, what's the American Graffiti thing going on here?
Well, to be fair, in the first real movie, why do they have a jazz bar?
We never see anyone dressed as Princess Leia at, I'm pointing at a Princess Leia when I say that. That's called irony, people, even if you can't get it, because you can't see what I'm pointing at.
Do you know what's really sweet, actually, is, again, when a Princess Leia meets a Han Solo,
yeah,
but they don't know each other,
okay,
there is a little bond.
Yeah.
There is a little bond there.
There's
quite nice.
There's some tongue action.
And sometimes there's a Han Solo. Let's see what happens.
They're together.
Oh, and there's a small person dressed as James Bond. There's the little bond that I was talking about earlier. There we go.
Where?
It feels like we should just right now just look at things.
We should just be doing color commentary.
Yeah.
It's like we're the hosts of the Macy's Day Parade here. Or what's that called? Thanksgiving Day Parade, whatever it is.
Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. Sure.
There's no Macy's Day in the States, by the way. It's not actually an official holiday.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
They took that away. Now it's Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah,
holiday.
It used to be named after Macy Gray.
It used to be named after Macy
Gray. But then in that first Spider-Man movie, where the Green Goblin attacked during the first Macy Day, they just had to stop it.
They had to stop it right away.
Everyone just said, forget about it.
I never actually got that connection that they have Macy Gray singing at a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. How did I miss that?
I just thought of it myself right now.
I'm dumb.
You're in no way dumb.
They make connections for it. There's Wolverine.
Yeah, it feels like all of a sudden all the costumes just got more.
Yeah.
Everything just got much more dense with costumes.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, by the way, right now I am not driving business away from my wife's table. She's saying no, okay, but I think she might be lying. I might be driving business away.
How can you be driving business away?
Oh, because no one wants to line up next to Crazy Man, who looks like he's talking next to other Crazy Man, who aren't talking to each other, but are just facing directly outwards. Right. Again, I want you all to have that visual picture.
Don't drink the water. It has fluoride in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a very nice Sailor Moon just went by. Yes. That was cool.
Very toothsome, as I like to say.
You do, and I don't really know what that means.
I don't know either. Biteable.
Did you think they are biteable, so Jaws would not be toothsome.
Jaws would not be toothsome.
Okay. But the lady who gets eaten by Jaws off the top would be toothsome.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. You are an old-timey guy, and not just because you do tea for two.
Yes.
While you're waiting.
Well, you know, I think that comes more from the monkeys than it came
because
Davy Jones would often do like a soft shoe during the show, right? That was kind of his shtick was the soft shoe.
And Mickey DeLenz would do his Cagney.
James Cagney, that's right. Dirty Rhyme.
Did anyone ever go, that's great. Do that every episode. That's fantastic.
Someone must have because they did do that every episode.
Now, you know what I'm going to think happened with good old Mickey Dolenz? Now Mickey had been an actor since he was a wee lad. Those of you that don't know, he was like the drummer for the Monkees.
Yeah.
But he used to star in a series called Circus Boy.
Circus Boy, that's right.
So he had been acting since he was a very small child.
Yes.
Now, if you're, say, a very small child, and you start doing Cagney, hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny that this little kid is going, you dirty rat. So funny.
Yeah.
And that, but then he imprinted on that.
Yes.
Came up with no other jokes for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And then just constantly, that's fantastic, Doctor Strange. Then he constantly just kept going back to it, to the point where he could not break free.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the guy beside him dressed as some sort of old god, beside Doctor Strange there.
Oh, is there someone that dressed as an old god?
I don't know. It was a guy dressed as a woman with orange hair. I assume that's a kind of Cthulhu costume. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I thought Fifth Element myself. I thought it was a guy dressed as the lady from the Fifth Element.
I don't know.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it for you, Dave, but the Fifth Element is... I
haven't seen that film.
Oh, I'm not going to spoil it then. Yeah. I won't tell you what the Fifth Element is.
It's French.
Yes, the Fifth Element is French.
French, yes.
That's it. They've got to do four things, and then it's like, what's the fifth one? It's like, just speak French.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Yep. Boop. And then the universe is destroyed.
Oh, well, you've spoiled it.
Yep.
The movie you weren't going to spoil, you just spoiled for me. Thank you.
Actually, there's a couple of people in costumes that do spoil certain things in movies walking around. You want to go like, you know what, you guys? You need to walk in the spoiler space, just over this area.
Well, this area.
This is what you got to do.
People have seen everything.
Now, okay, we should mention that someone who listens to the show has come to visit us
Yeah.
On the, because it would be weird not to mention this important thing.
This important fact.
Yes. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you brought it up.
Okay.
Why am I getting thrown? Why am I throwing my life? Okay. A friend of the show, Mary Hook.
Mary Hook.
She lives in Chicago, or lives near Chicago.
Right.
And she lives so close to Chicago, she's a fan of the Cubs.
How close is
that,
it? Oh,
that's that takes dedication.
All right, very good.
And so she came with her friend, Tracy. Tracy came with her. And they came here to visit Vancouver to see us. And Caustic Soda.
And Caustic Soda.
That's it. That was the sole reason that they're traveling around.
And they said that they had some trouble at the border.
Yeah.
And I think the trouble was they told the truth. And that sounds so unbelievable.
Yeah, it sounds so unbelievable. It's like the time when I was going down to see a movie across the border, and I said, we're going down to see a movie. And the guy said, why are you going to see a movie? And I was like, is that an existential question? Are you being rhetorical? I don't understand. Like, should I actually answer that question? It doesn't mean, why am I going to see, I don't know. Don't people do that? Is that something that stopped happening while I was away?
Right. And so they mentioned that they were coming to see us,
yeah.
and they got randomly selected for a search. Or at least
randomly
one of them did.
She was swabbed for bomb residue.
That's right. Because our show is a bit of a bomb.
It is a bit of a bomb. It is da bomb. I just want to point that out.
Either way.
I think you're not using that the right way.
But as I said to her, which was
da
her
bomb.
friend Tracy, she now knows she has no bomb residue on her.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So that's nice to know.
That's right.
That's a comforting thought.
Well, she had murdered a man. She had gunshot residue on her hand, but that was fine with them. They didn't care about that.
We don't care about that.
No, that's not what we're interested in. We're not police. That's what
exactly.
they told her. That's what they said at the border. We're not cops.
No.
We're just interested in bombs.
So so she showed up. So we've got to meet her, and she's fantastic. And her friend Tracy as well is fantastic.
She bought a shirt.
It's been, she bought a shirt?
Yeah.
Really should have given her one for free. She came from Chicago.
No.
Okay. Okay. You're a cold man. You're a cold man, Dedrick. So I just want to give a shout out and say that's fantastic. And if we've had people travel to see us before.
Yes, we have.
This is the farthest distance so far.
So far.
This is the first time they've used a plane.
Yes, that's right.
It's always exciting when someone does it, but, you know. So what we're saying is we're going to be at VanCalf later this year. And whoever travels from the farthest distance will give you a shirt. Let's do that.
Okay.
If you travel from the farthest distance to come see us.
Come see us.
And so we're going to do a live show at VanCalf.
You have to have proof of residency in some other area.
Yeah. That's right. You can't just go, I'm from Alaska.
I'm from Mars.
Yeah, you can't go, I'm from Mars. Exactly.
And have green skin.
Though, by the way,
if you're carrying a ray gun, we might believe you.
Yeah, so we'll do that. No, sorry. I don't want to get off topic, but that's what we do.
Yeah, that would be strange.
There was a lady who came up to me today.
Yes.
And she said she was part of the Mars One program.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this?
She's going to Mars?
That's the deal. Yeah. She's part of a group that's getting whittled down to to 40 people.
I wouldn't want
that. And she's part of now the 100... Yeah, it's a one-way trip. And apparently there's a billionaire, I think, from Norway.
Okay.
And she's going through all these tests. They're doing these testing things basically to see if you're going to go crazy with a bunch of people in isolation.
Yeah.
So some of the tests are in the Arctic. Some of the tests are in Hawaii. They're going through all these different tests. I don't know if this story is real, but man, it was a cool story.
Yeah.
It was like, so she's like really working her way to go to Mars. So say she does go to Mars.
Yeah.
We would send her a shirt. I know she couldn't come back because it's one way. But I'm going to say, if she makes it to Mars, we are going to ship her a shirt to Mars.
Shirt. Okay.
Okay.
To Mars, we're going to ship a shirt?
Yeah, to Mars, we'll ship
a
shirt.
She has to pay for the shipping, though.
Of course, she pays for shipping and handling.
The
shirt
free.
Is free, but shipping and handling is never free.
We can't cover that.
What are we? I mean, that's a tax nightmare.
It's terrible.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think I'd like that.
You would not like being on a Mars?
I would not want that at all.
Well, of course, it's a terrifying thing, and you've read Ray Bradbury's work, and you don't want to be on Mars.
It's not.
You read a John Carter?
Yeah, well, it's not John Carter so much. That's exciting.
A Martian Manhunter?
It's more reading. Well, I'm thinking Philip K. Dick's book, Martian Time Slip, where people live on
because
Mars.
Again, Dave is a huge Dick fan.
I'm a huge Dick fan, and you know, on Martian Time Slip, it's this sort of like rundown, lesser Earth where things don't work quite as well, and you know, and everything's kind of like rickety and kind of so-so, and it's just this kind of brown world of brownness, and it's not that great.
I've heard that Mars needs women as well.
Mars does need women. I just feel like I just want to live in the place. I want to live in like a. I want to live here where stuff's happening.
Well, you wouldn't have been.
Cool.
You probably wouldn't have been the guy who, when you're you know, when it's time to colonize, you know, North America,
yeah.
you wouldn't have been, like, in the wagon crossing
no.
the thing.
No, I would not have.
No, you've been eating crumpets in England.
I would have been home eating crumpets by my fireside.
You would have been having tea for two.
Yeah.
Literally.
Sure.
Yeah, that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Dave does not want to go to Mars. That's great.
No.
That works out because... you would not have made the initial cut, so this all works out.
No, they would have said, do you want to go to Mars? They would have said no. They said they would have crossed my name off the list.
Yeah.
It would have been that simple. I would have signed up. They said, do you want to go? I'd say no. They would just cross my name off the list. It would be that neat. It would
yeah,
be that simple.
Well, you just like being on lists.
I like to help people winnow things down. Not winnow things down, but winnow things down.
You like to winnow things down.
I like to help people winnow things. I'm not that interested in winnowing, but I like to help people winnow things down.
I like that things have gotten to the point now where it's not even puns. It's just words that make...
You never heard the word winnow before?
No, explain that to me.
W-I-N-N-O-W, to winnow is to like sort of filter out to...
Oh, well, I stand very corrected then, sir. I'm sorry, you've corrected me on my grammar, and I am chagrined.
You are chagrined. I'm glad you are chagrined.
That's what I'm cosplaying as. I'm cosplaying as a man who is chagrined.
Thank you.
Well, this has brought us to about an hour.
Yeah.
All right. This might be a failed experiment.
Why?
I don't know. We'll have to listen to that and see if it makes sense
yeah.
or not. But you know what? We gave it a good old-fashioned shot.
We gave it our best shot.
And, all right.
I wouldn't say that.
And one more time, I'd like to give
shot.
A shout-out to Mary,
for
coming. We're gonna hang out with her a little bit before
yes,
she leaves.
We will.
Maybe we're going to take her to see a stand-up show, hopefully, with her favorite guest.
Favorite guest.
Ben Mills. We're hoping to do that.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank our friend Tracy. We'd like to thank everyone who's come up to... We've had a lot of people come up and say nice things about the shirt, about the podcast, and it really is a treat, because once again, we do this not in a literal isolation tank, but a figurative isolation tank.
Yeah.
So it always is appreciated. If you can't come and see us in person, we'd love to hear from you. www.sneakydragon. I don't have to tell you www, do I? It's 2014. You know. Anyway, sneakydragon.com. We got a message board there. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Give us a... Let us know what you think about anything. Talk to us. We just like hearing from you. Dave especially.
I especially like to hear from people.
And if he's waiting to hear from you, he sings that song. So listen, the only thing that stops him from singing T for Two is your mail. So I beg of you, please. Anyway, this has been Sneaky Dragon live, at least to tape, from Vancouver Fan Expo 2014.
Yes. 2014 edition, yo.
Absolutely. Next time we're going to be at a con, we'll be at VanCaf. Oh, we might do one more here. Who knows? Maybe we'll do one more. We'll see how we feel about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
And everyone else has been a delightful array of amazing characters. I wish you could see all this. You know, just close your eyes and think of the most amazing series of costumes you've ever seen. Are you doing that? Okay, turn off your podcast now. Thanks for listening. Bye. My headphones that don't exist.